Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. After visiting the temples of... No, this is different. Yes. So after visiting the temples of Tirumala and Tirupati, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to subdue some atheist. He then visited the temple of Ahoval Nrisimha. So please repeat. After visiting the temple of Tirumala and Tirupati, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to subdue some atheists. He then visited the temple of Ahoval Nrisimha. Purport. The Ahoval temple is situated in Dakshinatya, in the district of Karnula, within the subdivision of Sarbela. Throughout the whole district, this very famous temple is much appreciated by the people. There are 8 other temples also, and all of them together are called the Nava Nrisimha temples. There is much wonderful architecture and artistic engraving work in these temples. However, as stated in the local gazette, the Karunula manual, the work is not complete. So there are a few other verses before this, and I'm just going to read the translations of those verses. Verse 98. After his sannyas rod was broken by Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu apparently became very angry and left his company to travel alone to Jagannath temple. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered the Jagannath temple and saw Lord Jagannath, he immediately lost his senses and fell to the floor. Text 100. The Lord had left Nityananda's company and had gone alone to the Jagannath temple. But later, Nityananda, Jagannath, Damodar and Mukunda came to see him. And after seeing him, they were very pleased. 101. After this incident, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed his mercy upon Sarvabhum Bhattacharya by showing him his original form as the Lord. 102. After bestowing mercy upon Sarvabhum Bhattacharya, the Lord started for southern India. When he came to Kurmakshetra, he delivered a person named Vasudeva. 103. After visiting Kurmakshetra, the Lord visited the South Indian temples of G.R. Narasimha and offered his prayers to Lord Narasimhadeva. On his way, he introduced the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in every village. 104. Once the Lord mistook the forest on the bank of the river Godavari to be Vrindavan. In that place, he happened to meet Ramananda Rai. And then comes today's verse. He visited the places known as Tirumala and Tirupati, where he extensively preached the chanting of the Lord's holy name. This is 105. And then today's verse, which describes the Lord visiting Ahoval Nrisimha temple. Om Jnanitam Randhasya Jnananjan Shalakaya Chakshunmirtamena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitamena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utpadikamlam Shri Gurun Vaishnavansha श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्ण पादान् सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभयश्च कृपासिन्धुभयेव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। आजानुलंबित भुजौ कनका विदातु संकीर्तनक पितरौ कमलायताक्षौ विश्वंभरो द्विजवरो युगधर्म पालो वंदे जगत प्रिय करो करुणावतारो। वर्स अगेन, तब ते पाषंडी गणे करेला दलन अहोबल नृसिंहादि कैल दर्शन। आफ्टर विजिटिंग द टेम्पल्स ऑफ तिरुमाला एंड तिरुपति, श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु हैड टू सबड्यू सम एथियस्ट्स। ही देन विजिटेड द टेम्पल ऑफ अहोबल नृसिंह। दिस चैप्टर ऑफ मध्यलीला सर्व्स एज ए सिनॉप्सिस फॉर द कमिंग इवेंट्स इन मध्यलीला लेटर ऑन। सो इन द प्रीसीडिंग वर्सेस many significant events have been pointed out, and what we can do in very limited amount of time to get some overview what happens. One of the very significant event is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's deliverance. So we'll come back to the verse today after those events, because those are preceding verses to this one. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu leaves Navadvip, having taken sannyas, and at the request of his mother, Sachima, he makes Jagannath Puri as his headquarters. So you have heard this in the previous classes. Now when he is on his way to Jagannath Puri, Nityanand Prabhu and other associates are going with him. But it so happens that on his way to Jagannath Puri, Nityanand Prabhu breaks his danda, sannyas danda, and throws in the river. And Mahaprabhu had given this responsibility to Nityanand Prabhu to hold his danda. Just like sometimes the sannyasis might give their danda to a brahmachari. So this was the responsibility. Nityanand Prabhu should have held this danda, kept it safe, but he didn't. Rather, he chose to break it apart into a number of pieces and threw it in the river. So this made Mahaprabhu very angry. Why did you do it? He is a newly initiated sannyasi, and somebody had just broken his danda. How inauspicious. Just like if somebody takes Gayatri Mantra, Brahman initiation, and someone comes and breaks his Brahman thread. How inauspicious. So Mahaprabhu became very angry. This incident really made him angry. Now the question is, why would Nityanand Prabhu break his danda? Nityanand Prabhu always considered himself as the servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Always. Because he is Adi Guru, And as Adi Guru, he considered Mahaprabhu as his Lord and Master. But here he is. He's doing something which is going to make his master really angry. And it did. So Mahaprabhu became very angry. So some of the reasons which are given in the explanation of why this danda was broken is that Nityananda Prabhu thought that Mahaprabhu is the supreme personality of Godhead. Why should he carry this danda? And this danda is not Vaishnava sannyas danda anyway. Because Vaishnava sannyasis have three danda. And Mahaprabhu took sannyas from a Mayavadi sannyasi, so-called Mayavadi sannyasi, Kesha Bharati. So Nityananda Prabhu thought this is not proper danda anyway. It's not a Vaishnava tridanda. And Mahaprabhu was carrying this all around. So he said, why should he carry this danda? He's the Supreme Lord himself. So for whatever reason, Nityananda Prabhu broke that danda and threw it. Now there was another explanation that Mahaprabhu actually wanted to go and see Jagannath on his own. And Nityananda Prabhu knew this because he is second incarnation of Mahaprabhu. He knows the heart of Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu wanted to go and see Jagannath on his own without anybody. So this incident facilitated his going to Puri on his own without anybody accompanying him. Because again, Mahaprabhu was in his ecstasy to see Jagannath. He was in his Radha Bhava Diti, the mood of Srimati Radharani, going to see Krishna. So Mahaprabhu was in that mood and he doesn't want anybody, any disturbance. So when the Supreme Lord comes to Jagannath Puri, he is in ecstasy that he can't even utter the word Jagannath. All he could say, Jaga, Jaga, Jaga. And then he fainted. He could not say Jagannath. And when he fainted, in the Garbhagraha, interior quarters of Lord Jagannath, just next to the Lord, then all the pujaris came, and they thought, who is this new sannyasi making nuisance here? So they were trying to be violent. Who is this? But then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came to know, and he said, no. Do not disturb him. And scientifically minded Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the greatest scholar of Vedas and Vedanta, then started testing Mahaprabhu. So he tested his nadi, his pulse, his heart, his stomach, and all the movements of his body, but found out that his body was in complete suspense. Nothing was moving. So then he thought, is he dead? In order to test whether he is dead or alive, then he took some cotton and put in front of Mahaprabhu's nostrils. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was relieved to see that Mahaprabhu is breathing. He is still alive. So he felt happy. But then his mind was puzzled that how come his body is in complete suspense. And there have been no description in the scriptures of this state of bhava. This is not humanly possible. So he took Mahaprabhu to his house. And for three prayer up until the afternoon, Mahaprabhu remained unconscious. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya tried to revive him. Nothing worked. Then behind Nityananda Prabhu, Jagadananda Pandit and other devotees came. And they asked the local people, have you seen a young sannyasi? They said, yes. He fainted in the temple. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has taken him to his house. So then they went and started kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So when Mahaprabhu saw Nityananda Prabhu and other devotees, he said, what are you doing here? And then the Lord became very pleased. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya invited him to become his guest. And he had such paternal affection to the Lord. Because anybody who saw him would just fall in love with him. So Sarvam Bhattacharya had such paternal affection for him. And at that time, he was 80 years old. Sarvam Bhattacharya was 80 years old. So like a grandfather to Mahaprabhu. Now a little bit about Sarvam Bhattacharya. Who was Sarvam Bhattacharya and why he came to Puri? Sarvam Bhattacharya was initially living in Navadvip. And because of him, Navadvip had become the greatest place of learning, Vidyapeet, and all over India. And this was amazing. Why? Because before Sarvam Bhattacharya started his Vidyapeet in Navadvip, Mithila used to be the seat of learning in India, Mithila, where all the original universities started, Takshashila, Nalanda universities. They were Oxford and Cambridge of India. And initially, they were the Oxford and Cambridge. They were the first universities in the world. Oxford, Cambridge came some 800 years back in existence. So Mithila used to be the seat of learning. And Sarvam Bhattacharya went there as a student. Now, there was a rule in Mithila that nobody could copy anything. You can come, learn and go. You can't copy anything. So this way, they maintain their dominance over the learning, Vedic learning in Mithila. But Sarvam Bhattacharya was clever. He went there and he learned. And he followed the rule, which was not to copy anything, any scripture. Those days, if you wanted to read scriptures, sometimes you had to make copies. Even 400 years back, you had to make copies. So learning was really difficult. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India and he found Brahma Sanhita. And then devotees made copies, written copies, handwritten copies on Talpatra. So Sarvam Bhattacharya said, okay, I'll follow the rule. He followed the rule. But he memorized everything he learned, he just memorized. He memorized the entire Vedanta, Upanishads. Everything he was taught, he memorized. Particularly, he became the greatest scholar of Vedanta, logic, rhetoric. So he memorized everything. And when he came to Jagannath Puri, he started teaching. Now his learning was so profound that people stopped going to Mithila and they started coming to Navadvip. And that way, Navadvip became the seat of learning. But the news came to Hussain Sai that Sarvam Bhattacharya is reviving the Vedic culture, teaching Vedic knowledge, he is teaching Vedanta, and people from all over India are coming and becoming his student. So Nawab Hussain Sai wanted to disturb that and stop it. When Sarvam Bhattacharya came to know that Hussain Sai wants to stop him, so then he moved to Jagannath Puri. This is how he ended up in Jagannath Puri. Because Jagannath Puri was ruled by King Pratap Rudra, who was a very strong king, powerful king, and devotee of Jagannath. So having received Sarvam Bhattacharya in Jagannath Puri, King Pratap Rudra made him in charge of Jagannath temple. So in one sense, Sri Radha Gokula Nandiki Jaya. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki Jaya. Gaunitaya ki Jaya. So that way, he became the superintendent of Jagannath temple. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur was made superintendent of Jagannath temple when he was the governor. When he was the district magistrate. Assistant district magistrate. Because in British time, you could not get the full title of being a magistrate. So in India, they used to give the highest position one could have in India during British Raj was to become assistant magistrate. And this is the position Bhaktivinoda Thakur had, assistant magistrate, highest position at that time. So this was the position of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Very respected, scholarly, favored by the king. And with all these qualifications, then he wanted to teach the Lord because he felt very affectionate. So he proposed that Krishna Chaitanya, why don't you learn Vedanta from me? So Mahaprabhu said yes. Mahaprabhu considered Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya as his guru. Yes. And then the famous incident of Mahaprabhu hearing Vedanta from him for 7 days without uttering a word. And Bhattacharya asked, it's been 7 days, you have asked no question, what's going on? Do you get what I'm trying to teach you? Do you understand what I'm trying to teach you? So Mahaprabhu said, yes, I understand Vedanta, but I do not understand what you are saying. What? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became puzzled, astonished. What? You're saying you understand Vedanta, but you do not understand the explanation I'm giving to you. So what is that? Mahaprabhu said, yes. Vedanta is as brilliant as the sun. Therefore, it does not need any explanation from any scholar. Just like sometimes people worship the sun, show a lamp to the sun. As a worship you can do, show a lamp to the sun. But the sun does not need a lamp to be seen. So similarly, Vedanta philosophy is as brilliant as the sun. It does not need the explanations, the commentaries to be seen. But because it is so difficult, this is the ultimate classical work of Lord Vyasadeva. Ultimate. And it is written in very small sutras. Very difficult. So acharyas and many great scholars have written commentaries of commentaries. And one of the most famous commentary of Vedanta Sutra is Sharirak Bhas of Shankaracharya. It's still famous amongst the scholars. Sharirak Bhasya. And this Bhasya, Sharirak Bhasya, is the Mayavad interpretation of Vedanta Sutra. So that way, Mahaprabhu challenged Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that your interpretation is wrong, is invalid, is inaccurate, is imposed, and I don't accept it. Hearing this from a 24-year-old sannyasi, an 80-year-old Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, what challenge? He didn't know what to say. So then he said, okay, then you explain. And Mahaprabhu explained Vedanta Sutra in such a way that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was completely speechless. Then Mahaprabhu pacified him. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya inquired further. Then he said, okay, then what do you think is the ultimate reality? And what is the proof? What's the evidence? The devotional service you are describing satisfies the mumukshus, the jnanis, the yogis, everyone. It's a famous verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Atma ramascha muniyo nirgantru api rupkrame kurvanti ahetuki bhaktim ittam bhut guno hari. So Mahaprabhu asked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, please you explain this verse. And Bhattacharya gave 9 meanings, very profound scholarly meanings, 9. Then Bhattacharya asked Mahaprabhu, you explain it. 2 scholars debating. And Mahaprabhu did not touch a single of his interpretation and gave 64 meanings. This was humanly impossible. This completely convinced Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because this is just not humanly possible to speak the way he is speaking. 64 interpretations of one verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Atmaram. Just one word, Atmaram is Shmaniya. This Atmaram verse, he gave 64 interpretations. It was completely humanly impossible. So that's the time when Dharmabodh Bhattacharya accepted Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu, being pleased with him, showed him his Shadurvajrup, six-arm form. So this event is going to come in following chapters. But very briefly, this is what happened. Now, interestingly, Sarvam Bhattacharya, having pleased the Lord with his surrender, then composed 100 verses. But he was afraid to say these. So what he did, he gave those verses to Jagdananda, one of his servants. He said, take these verses and show it to Mahaprabhu. If the Lord permits, if he is happy, then I would consider my learning is fruitful. So those two verses, one verse you might have heard, you must have heard. Another verse is also very significant. So I'm just going to read those two verses which please the Lord. It so happened, when these verses were sent to Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu took those verses and palm leaf and tore them apart and threw it. Same thing he did when he was disillusioned with the learning as a logician. So he took his book, Siddhant Kaumudi. He took his book on logic and tore it apart and threw it in the Ganga. So although Mahaprabhu threw these verses, but before that, the devotees did something very clever. Jagdanand Pandit, he copied those verses on the wall. And then he said, before you show it to Mahaprabhu, he copied those verses on the wall. And the devotees of the Lord came and memorized them and made those verses as their garlands. Just like Krishnas Kaviraj says, that all the devotees should make a garland of this verse of Chaitanya Shikshastakam. Which one? Tranadapi sunichena tarurapi sahishnuna amanina manedena kirtaniya sadahari. And wear it. Just by reciting Shikshastak, devotees can easily get Krishna prem. Many devotees chant Shikshastakam prayers. Many temples also chant Shikshastakam prayers in the morning. So similarly, these two verses, very key verses, out of 100 verses, which were composed by Sarvam Bhattacharya, are the key. He writes, Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Sikshartha Meka Purusha Purana Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kripa Mudhariyas Tamaham Prapadde. And this gives the indication why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also appeared. So he says, my dear Lord, you have appeared to teach Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga, these two things. The art of detachment and devotional service. These two things you have appeared to teach. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. Therefore, I take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has appeared to teach Vairagya Vidya, the detachment, and his own devotional service. The second verse which he wrote is Kala Nastam Bhakti Yogam Nijam Yah Praduskartam Krishna Chaitanya Nama Avirbhuta Tasya Padara Vinde Gadham Gadham Liyatam Chitta Bhranga. Let my consciousness become a honeybee and taste the nectar of the lotus feet of the Lord, who has appeared to teach his own devotional service, because in due course of time that devotional service has become lost. Just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that time to time, this devotional service, the science of yoga becomes lost. So he comes. So these two verses pleased Mahaprabhu internally, but externally he tore them apart and threw them. So this was the incident with Sarvam Bhattacharya. Now Sarvam Bhattacharya became his scholar. This was a very prominent event in Gaudiya Vaishnava. Because when Sarvam Bhattacharya, caliber of Sarvam Bhattacharya becomes a devotee of Mahaprabhu, then people will naturally take devotional service because they think, oh, such a great scholar, devotee of Mahaprabhu. If the great scholar like Sarvam Bhattacharya is accepting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, where is the doubt? So even to this day, it is difficult to understand Mahaprabhu unless we come and take shelter of Srila Prabhupada's teachings, Mahaprabhu's teachings. Very difficult. To this day, not many people accept Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he is Channavatar. So Sarvam Bhattacharya became a devotee. Mahaprabhu wanted to test him time to time. So he would test him. One day, the Lord came and brought Jagannath Prasad in the morning. Sarvam Bhattacharya, he had just woken up. But when he saw the Jagannath Prasad, immediately he started eating. He said, for Jagannath Prasad, there's no rules and regulation. You find it, you eat it. If you go to Jagannath Puri, it's the same mood people have for Jagannath Prasad. If you leave any prasadam on the plate in Jagannath temple, somebody will come and eat it. In Jagannath, outside the temple, where they sell Mahaprasadam. So you're not supposed to leave anything. Because if people see you have left some prasadam, somebody will come and eat. They have so much respect for prasadam. So Mahaprabhu pleased, became very pleased. Yes, he's coming in line with devotional service. Then, one day, Sarvam Bhattacharya came and recited a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, but he changed it. He recited a famous verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Tattenu kampam susamikshamano bhunjan evatmakritam vipakam hirdvag viparbham vididhan namaste jivet yo bhakti padesa dayabhak. Now the original verse is mukti pade, and Sarvam Bhattacharya recited this verse by saying bhakti pade. This is a verse from 10th canto, Lord Brahma's prayers to Krishna. A very famous verse. That those who take their karma and suffer them silently, but offer obeisances at the lotus feet of the Lord, they inherit the mukti path. So it's called the inherit the liberation. Liberation is simply inherited by them. If you simply offer obeisances at the lotus feet of the Lord and accept your karma, whatever it is. So Bhattacharya said, bhakti pade. Mahaprabhu immediately stopped him. He said, you are not reciting correctly. The original verse is mukti pade, but you are saying bhakti pade. Why? Mahaprabhu did not tolerate that if people change even a single word from mukti to bhakti. Because Bhagavatam is spotless Purana. Nishkalank Purana. So Bhattacharya then started debating with Mahaprabhu. He said, my Lord, this mukti is very fearful. It denotes the meaning of fear and hate. I don't like it. I don't like mukti. Now imagine all the Mayavadis, day and night, they are absorbed in mukti, mukti, mukti. Brahma and mukti. Their Mahavakyas, aham brahmasmi, tattvamasi, satyam pagyanam brahma. So they are absorbed in that. Brahma and mukti. These two words. Any discussion of Mayavadis is centered around these two things. Brahman and mukti. So when Mahaprabhu heard this, he became very pleased. Sarvam Bhattacharya, then Mahaprabhu said, but Muktipad, you don't understand Muktipad. Muktipad means the Supreme Lord who awards all kinds of liberation. This life we call Prabhupada, Prabhupada. So Prabhupada has two meanings. One who has taken shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. Second meaning, one who gives shelter to all the devotees who want to come to devotional service. So he is Prabhupada because he is giving shelter to all the Prabhus. All the Prabhus are taking shelter at Prabhupada's lotus feet. So Mahaprabhu said, no, but Muktibad means Krishna, who rewards all kinds of liberation. But Sarvam Bhattacharya said, but I like bhakti. So Mahaprabhu became very pleased. If you like bhakti over mukti, my mission is successful. So then Mahaprabhu goes to South India. At the request of Sarvam Bhattacharya, he meets Ramananda Raya. And there is a whole discussion between Ramananda Raya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which have been indicated in the preceding verses. So I'm just going to very briefly summarize that discussion. When Ramananda Raya meets Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu embraces him. Although Ramananda Raya introduces him to be coming from Shudra family and untouchable. And then there's a discussion. Mahaprabhu says that I've heard so much about you from Sarvam Bhattacharya. Actually insisted that I should come and see you. But it is so nice that you have come. So at the bank of Godavari, Ramananda Raya meets Mahaprabhu. After their bath, then they start discussing. So Ramananda Raya is one of those devotees who had the privilege to speak to Mahaprabhu, or in one sense, teach Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu at time to time would say that Ramananda Raya has taught me Raga Bhakti. How can anybody teach Mahaprabhu Raga Bhakti? He has come to distribute Raga Bhakti. But he wouldn't know. Ramananda Raya has taught me Raga Bhakti. So Haridas Thakur, Ramananda Raya, these two devotees, they had the privilege to speak to the Lord. And the Lord gave them the position of being Acharyas. Haridas Thakur, Namacharya. Ramananda Raya, in one sense he was Rasacharya, original Rasacharya. Although Rasacharya is Rupa Goswami, he is also Rasacharya. So Ramananda Raya then was questioned by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is a beautiful verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita when Mahaprabhu meets Ramananda Raya. Prabhu kahe pad sloke sadhe rayo nirnayo Raya kahe swadharma charne Vishnu bhakti hoya. Mahaprabhu said, I want to know what is the ultimate goal of life. So Ramananda Raya, he was a very profound scholar, great scholar, a great devotee. He said, my dear Lord, if somebody follows his own dharma, according to Varnashram dharma, then eventually they will attain devotional service. And then he quoted a verse from the scriptures, Vanashama Charvata Purshin Parhapuman Vishnu Aradhyate Panta Nanya Tattoshikarnam. This verse is emphasizing that Varnashram Achar, anyone who is following the rules and regulation of Varnashram Dharma, they will attain devotional service. They are actually worshipping Lord Vishnu. Vishnu Aradhyate Panta. So that's the way to worship Vishnu, worship Krishna. Nanyat tattoshikarnam. There is no other way to satisfy Lord Vishnu except following the rules and regulations of Varnashram. Mahaprabhu rejected it. Prabhu kahe ho bahe, ahik aage kaho aar, Raya kahe Krishna karmarpanam sarvasadhyasar. So Mahaprabhu said, eho bahe, this is external. I don't accept it. Aage kaho aar. Tell me something more, if you know. So, Raya kahe Krishna karmarpanam sarva sadhya sar. Raya, Ramananda Raya said that offering all the fruits of action at the lotus feet of the Lord, that is the essence of scriptures. And Mahaprabhu keeps on saying that. Ramananda Raya, here you see the dialogue between Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Raya. Although Ramananda Raya is bringing scriptural evidences to prove his statement, Mahaprabhu rejects him. He keeps on saying, Eho bahe aage kahuar. This is external. Tell me something more if you know it. In one sense, Mahaprabhu keeps on challenging him. This is external. I don't accept it. Tell me something more if you know it. But as soon as, although he quoted verses from Bhagavad Gita, he even quoted Sarv Dharman Parityaj Mamekam Sharanam Braj. Aham Tam Sarva Pape Mokshishyami Masucha. Mahaprabhu said, this is external. What are we supposed to do now? In Bhagavad Gita, the ultimate teaching is Sarv Dharman Parityaj. And Mahaprabhu said, this is external. I don't accept it. He also quoted other verses. Mahaprabhu said, external. So the Bhagavad Gita didn't satisfy him. Then Ramananda Raya quoted one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma's prayers. As soon as he quoted Bhagavatam, immediately Mahaprabhu started broadly smiling. Yes, this is what I wanted to hear. And then, just to summarize, Mahaprabhu keeps on encouraging him further and further. And then Ramananda Raya talks about the devotional service, five rasas, devotion of the gopis. But then he starts describing Srimati Radharani, and this brings ecstasy to the Lord when he starts describing the position of Srimati Radharani. This is when the Lord starts melting. So far he was rigid and he would refute it or just refuse it to accept. You know? He would not accept what Ramananda was presenting. But as soon as he started describing the position of Srimati Radharani, the Lord started melting. Now his ecstasy started to overcome him. But at one point, Ramananda Raya composed a prayer, composed a poem, and recited to the Lord. That time Mahaprabhu took his hand and closed his mouth. Mahaprabhu closed his mouth. No. Don't say anymore. That was the time. At that point, Ramananda Raya brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in complete ecstasy. And the Lord Supreme Lord himself said, okay, no. Don't say anymore. So at that point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then revealed his form to Ramananda Raya. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the combined form of Radha and Krishna. So he first of all revealed himself as Krishna with flute, peacock feather, Tribhunga Mudra. Then he revealed Srimati Radharani, himself as Radharani. Then he became one. Radha and Krishna became one. At that time, Ramananda Raya fainted. And when he came to senses, then he started offering prayers. But when he is offering prayers, Mahaprabhu said, no, you were just an illusion. You were dreaming. You calling me the Supreme Personality of Godhead? No. You are an illusion. And Ramananda Raya said, no. So from that time onwards, Mahaprabhu blessed him and said, very soon, Krishna will be merciful to you and you should now go to Puri. So Ramananda Raya, by the mercy of Mahaprabhu, sent a letter to Maharaj Pratap Rudra and said, I want to resign from this position of being the governor of South India and just spend rest of my life with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, Pratap Rudra Maharaj is also a devotee. So he accepted the resignation. And he also said that we'll award you the full pension. Okay. So this was a very nice arrangement. And Ramananda Raya joined as one of the most confidential associates of the Lord. Ramananda Raya, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Sarvam Bhattacharya, Shikhi Mahati, they were the most confidential associate of the Lord in Jagannath Puri, who remained with the Lord until the Supreme Personality of Godhead disappeared from the mortal vision. So this was the incident which will come, but has been indicated. Now, few minutes for the verse today. After this, Mahaprabhu visited Tirupati temple, Tirumala. And Tirumala is actually non-different from Anantashesh. When Ramanujacharya went to Tirupati, he would not walk on the hill. He went to the hill with his knees. It's very difficult to walk on knees. Try it. But he went on his knees because he wanted to show that this Tirumala hill is non-different from Anantashesh. And he is Anantashesh. One time, so many of Buddhist scholars came to debate with him. 1,000. 1,000 Buddhist scholars came to debate with him. Condition was, we will put 1,000 questions to you, but you have to answer everybody immediately, at once. So Ramanujacharya took the challenge. But he said, there's a condition. You can put 1,000 questions to me all at once, but I would speak to you from the curtain. So put a curtain. He said, yes, no problem. Put a curtain. So they put a curtain. Ramanujacharya, the sannyasi, he sat. 1,000 Buddhist scholars ask questions at the same time, 1,000 different questions. And Ramanujacharya replied all of them all at once. And when they heard this, what? Completely astonished. So they wanted to find out who is this person. When they opened the curtain, they found no sannyasi there. Who was there? Anantashesh. Lord Sankrishna. And then they started running in all directions. When they saw Anantashesh with 1,000 hoods sat there. So all these Buddhist sannyasi, atheists, they started running in all directions. Then the disciples of Ramanujacharya offered prayers and then requested him to resume his form as a sannyasi. So Tirumala was visited by Mahaprabhu, and there's a description that Mahaprabhu visited the temples in Tirumala hill. So there's a Ram temple, and there's Balaji, famous Balaji temple. I live in Birmingham, and we have Balaji temple in Birmingham, which is considered to be the largest or biggest temple of Tirupati, Tirumala. Tirupati Balaji, outside of India, this is what they say. And the worship is just gorgeous, magnanimous. They chant prayers, the standard of worship is just amazing. So Mahaprabhu visited Tirumala, Tirupati, he chanted prayers. When he went to Nrisingha temple, which is mentioned in this verse, there are 9 Nrisingha temples, now Nrisingha, he chanted these prayers, which I'm going to chant, and you can also chant with me. When the great Lord Nrisingadev in Mayapur, these are the prayers they chant. So you will have heard. Sri Nrisingha Jaya Nrisingha Jaya Jaya Nrisingha. Prahadesha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bhringa. Beautiful prayers. Mahaprabhu chanted these prayers and then he danced in front of Lord Nrisingadev, remembering his dear devotee Prahlad Maharaj. So this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu purified the land South India. This was his mission. Mahaprabhu took 2 years to cover 4,000 kilometers of journey on foot, and everywhere he went, he chanted, danced, and delivered the people of that region. So, we'll stop here. This was just summary description of the pastimes of the Lord, which are coming in following chapters, as we mentioned. Okay, it's 8:45. So, I'll stop here. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?